If you take your Bibles, please, and turn to the book of Romans, Romans chapter 1 this morning. We're going to look at just one verse this morning, but we're going to, look at it kind of piece by piece today. So Romans chapter 1, and for many of us, this will be a familiar verse of Scripture, but there's a lot in it. And so let's go ahead and read it, and then we'll pray. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. This is, of course, the Apostle Paul writing. And he says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word of God. And for another opportunity to look into it, guide us and direct us into the truth by the workings of your Holy Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Because we live in a day and age when every vile and wicked thing imaginable is coming out of the closet, I think it's time that the people of God come out from beneath the rock under which they've been hiding and stand on the rock and let it be known where they stand. We need to stand up and stand out for the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I heard a little story about a boy who had a dog, kind of a mangy mutt. And somebody asked him, "What kind of dog is that?" The little boy said, "Well, he's a police dog." The man said, "Well, he doesn't look like it." And the little boy says, "That's because he's in the Secret Service." And I think we have a lot of Christians today who are in the Secret Service. They're certainly not bold believers, and they don't stand up like the Apostle Paul and say, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." Now some will say, "Well, it was easier in Paul's day to stand up for Christ." But you know what? That's totally wrong. It was far more difficult in his day to stand up for the gospel of Christ than it is this day. Today, think about it. We decorate with the cross. We put the cross on gold around our necks. We put the cross on church steeples. But I want to remind you that the cross was an instrument of capital punishment. It was an instrument of execution. Can you imagine today someone coming to church with a little gold electric chair hanging from their neck? Or a little gold gas chamber hanging from their neck? Or a little gold guillotine hanging from their neck? You see, in Roman culture, you didn't even mention the cross in polite society, because it was so ghastly and so gruesome. And in Paul's day, Jesus Christ was not known as a great world religious leader. To the people in Paul's day, Jesus was a madman at best and a criminal at worst. I mean, the gospel was identified with a poor Jewish carpenter. And on top of that, this poor Jewish carpenter died a degrading death. He was crucified. And Paul, a Jew, is writing to the Romans. And the Romans had no special appreciation for the Jews. The Romans would ask themselves, "Why should I put my faith in a Jew, a carpenter who was nailed to a cross and crucified?" Remember, the Romans had some great philosophers and some great philosophy of their own. And their attitude would be, "Why should we at Rome pay attention to the fable about a Jew who rose from the dead?" And their attitude was, if Paul believes this gospel, evidently he's uneducated. He must not have any social standing. He must not have studied. He must be ignorant. But the reality is, Paul was not only brilliantly intelligent, but he was highly educated. He had the equivalent of a double or triple PhD. He was an intellectual genius. He had a pedigree. He was a Jew of the tribe of Benjamin. He was a born leader. And in the face of all this opposition, you know, people saying that Paul, he's just been deluded into being a follower of this dead Jewish carpenter. And in the light of people saying this guy is ignorant, he's stupid if he believes this stuff. In spite of all of that, the Apostle Paul says here in Romans 1:16, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The great preacher from the past, Dr. R.G. Lee, used to tell a story about a preacher. And this preacher talked about the gospel of Jesus Christ and his relationship to it over the years. This preacher said, at 30, I was a young preacher. I studied the world's religions and the world's philosophies, and I compared them to the gospel, and I said, there is nothing better than the gospel. Then he said, when I got to be 40 and the burdens of life began to press heavily upon me and the years seemed to go by quickly, I began to say, there is nothing as good as the gospel. Then he said, time went on and there were some empty chairs in our house. Those who had stepped over to glory, the grave diggers had done their work burying our loved ones. And I began to say, there's nothing that can compare to the gospel. Then I said, I got to be 60. When I got to be 60, I began to see with improved spiritual insight. He said, I began to see through the illusions and the vanity of earthly things, and in the clear light of eternity, I said, there's nothing but the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then he said, at 70, when my old body now is beginning to wear out and I have many limitations and I know that before long I'll be going home, I now sing, should all the forms which men devise attack my faith with treacherous art, I would call them all vanities and lies and bind the gospel to my heart. There is nothing but the gospel. If you really step back and consider what life is all about, you'll see that. And so the question that that confronts us is, why should we be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Why should we be a closet Christian? Why should we blush and stammer and stutter rather than stand up straight and bold and clear and say, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ? Well, this morning, I want to give you four reasons why we should be incredibly thrilled with the gospel of Jesus Christ and why we ought to be bold believers. And the first reason is this: because of the sovereign majesty of the gospel. The sovereign majesty of the gospel. Think about whose gospel it is. It's the gospel of Christ. And who is Christ? He is both the Son of God and God the Son. He is the God-man, totally unique. Out of all the philosophers and out of all the scientists and rulers and politicians and religious leaders who have ever lived, only a few have made any significant impact on the world. But I want to say, of that handful, there is one person whose name towers like Mount Everest above all the rest, and that is the name of Jesus. No person in all of history has ever attracted such a combination of attention, devotion, criticism, adoration, and opposition as Jesus Christ. It's an incredible thing. 20 centuries after his death, there has not been a moment in time, whether it's right now or any other time, where there were not millions of people who are following him and reading what he said. Matter of fact, this very moment, millions are endeavoring to live by his words. He's an incredible person. Just stop and think about it. His birth divides all of history. B.C., A.D. His birth divides history. He split the centuries. It's amazing. He never wrote a book, and yet more books have been written about him than any other person who ever lived. He never painted a picture, so far as we know. He never composed any poetry. He never wrote any music. But more art and more poetry and more music have been composed and written about the Lord Jesus Christ than any other person in the history of the world. He is the object of songs and plays and poetry and art. He never raised an army, and yet millions would gladly die for him. It's estimated that there are at least 350,000 martyrs a year today in this modern world who die for the Lord Jesus Christ and die for their faith. Again, it's amazing. When he was here, he only had a few thousand people that he ever spoke to at one time. But today, over 30% of the world's population claim to be followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, the largest religious grouping that has ever existed. He never had any formal education, yet thousands of universities and thousands of seminaries and colleges and schools have been founded in the name of Jesus Christ, which shows the sovereign majesty of the gospel. The emperor Napoleon Bonaparte once said this: "Alexander, Caesar, Charlemagne, and I founded empires. But on what foundation did we rest the creatures of our genius? Upon force. But Jesus Christ founded an empire upon love. What an abyss lies between my deep misery and the eternal kingdom of Christ, which is proclaimed, loved, adored, and is still existing over the whole earth." Why? Why would any Christian ever be ashamed to identify himself with someone as wonderful as Jesus Christ? I think of the young man who had lived a wicked and vile life. He had gone deep into sin, and he had drunk deeply of the cup of sin all the way down to the dregs. And then he was saved by the gospel of Christ. And then after he was saved, he was called to preach. He didn't have the gifts of education. He was not articulate, but he had a burning heart and a tongue on fire for Christ. But there was somebody in the congregation who had known him before he was a Christian. They had known him before Christ had come into his life. And they resented the fact that he was up there in the pulpit because of the wickedness of his life before he was saved. And in a cruel way, they wrote a note and sent it to him by way of an usher. And it listed all the things that he had done prior to his conversion. And that note said, "What are you doing up there? Aren't you ashamed of yourself? I know what you did." And rather than crumpling it up and putting it in his pocket, he stood behind the pulpit on the platform and took that list of those terrible, horrible, heinous, hurtful, hellish things that he had done, and he read them one by one to the congregation without leaving anything out. And then he said this: "Ladies and gentlemen, I am very ashamed of myself and my past, but I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ that has changed my life, for it is the power of God unto salvation." Amen to that. Why be ashamed of Christ? Remember, Jesus said in Mark 8:38, "Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of the Father with his holy angels." And so the first reason I'm not ashamed of the gospel is the sovereign majesty of whose gospel it is. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ, the God-man, the Alpha and Omega, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So we're not to be ashamed of the gospel because of the sovereign majesty of the gospel. Now, the second reason we should not be ashamed of the gospel is because of the saving ministry of the gospel. Look at it again here. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. That's what the gospel is all about. There is nothing more important than getting saved. I can't think of anything more important than that. Business is not more important. Fame is not more important. Pleasure is not more important. Education is not more important. Money is not more important. Popularity is not more important. Prestige is not more important. Power is not more important. Nothing is more important than the gospel of salvation, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's through Him and Him alone that on October 23rd, 1972, I was saved by the grace of God when I placed my faith and my trust in Him as my Savior and Lord. And when I did that, He then became the indwelling Christ, the Christ of the present, not just the Christ of the past, not just the Christ of the cross, not just the Christ of the resurrection, but the present tense indwelling Christ who resides in me and who shapes me and builds me and molds me and to grow me and develop me and to make me more like Him so that I can be ready for His second coming. And all of that is part of His saving ministry. It's the very reason He came into the world. In Luke 19:10, Jesus said, "The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." So why should I be ashamed that I have a message that can rescue people from hell, that can give them a new heart, that can give them a new hope, that can set their direction toward heaven and all the time fill them with peace and joy? The answer is I should never be ashamed of it, because it is without any doubt the greatest piece of news ever to fall on human ears. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we should not be ashamed of the gospel because of the sovereign majesty of the gospel, and then because of the saving ministry of the gospel. Now here's number three. We should not be ashamed of the gospel because of the supernatural miracle of the gospel. Notice Paul says here, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God." There has never been a greater power than the power of the gospel. What can wash away my sin? Psychiatry can't do it. Psychology can't do it. Philosophy can't do it. Only the power of God can do it. Now, every now and then, I run into people who say, "Well, I just believe there are many ways. I think there are many ways to go to heaven." Well, if there are many ways to go to heaven, then why did Jesus die? Why didn't God just tell us one of those other ways? Why did God let His beloved Son die in agony and bleed on that cross when there was some other way? Don't you think if there was another way, God would have told us? If God let Jesus die the most shameful, terrible death that anyone has ever died, and there was some other way, I'd lose respect for that kind of God. I wouldn't want to meet Him in a dark alley if that's the way He's going to treat His kids. But the truth is, He is the only way. He is the only way. Acts 4:12, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because the gospel alone has the power to transform, the power to rescue the perishing, the power to care for the dying, the power to snatch them in pity from sin and the grave. And that is the job of the gospel. Thank God for the supernatural miracle, the power of the gospel that delivers people from sin, death, and hell when they put their faith and their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord. See, Christians, remember this. Christians are not just reformed sinners. They are new creatures. New creatures. 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And that is the supernatural miracle of the gospel. The fact that we're not just reformed sinners, but we are made new creatures in Christ Jesus when we receive him as our Savior. Thank God for the supernatural miracle, the power of God. And then let me finish up here with the fourth one. The fourth reason why we should not be ashamed of the gospel is because of the simple method of the gospel. The Apostle Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. And notice now how simple this is. To everyone that believeth. Believeth. You say, now Paul, come on. Complicate it a little bit anyway. Make it a little more difficult. But no, he says in 1 Corinthians 1:18, the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but to us which are saved it is the power of God. You can call it foolish if you want, but the simple message of the gospel is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's gloriously simple and simply glorious. And Acts 16:31 says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That's the only requirement. You see, God made only one way so that there'd be no confusion about it. And then he made it simple enough for even a child to understand. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And why did God do it that way? Well, in Romans 4:16, it says this. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace. You see, if there were any other requirements other than belief in Christ, then it's not of grace. What if God said, all right, everybody who wants to be saved, run around the block. Well, you say, that'd be pretty simple enough. But you know, there are some crippled people who wouldn't be able to do that, which means they would be excluded from being saved, right? What if God said, okay, if everybody wants to be saved, read a chapter in the Bible? Well, that would be simple enough, except there are some people who can't read. That means they would be excluded from salvation. What if he said, okay, everybody who wants to be saved, give $100? Well, some people don't have $100 they can give. And so that means they would be excluded. See, it's by faith that it might be by grace. Ephesians 2:8, for by grace are you saved through faith. And John 3:16 makes it very clear, right? Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And that's so wonderful, so wonderful. But listen, we're not finished yet. Because Romans 4:16 continues with this. It says, therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end that the promise might be sure to all the seed. That is, to all people. You see, this plan doesn't leave anybody out. It is a whosoever gospel. And grace is the only way that it can be a whosoever gospel. It is by faith, because it's of grace. And if it's not by grace, then it leaves certain people out who can't do certain things. So the fact that it is by grace and not by works is a wonderful thing. It is the most beautiful message in the entire world, and it is also the simplest message in the entire world. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the message that we have been called to proclaim to the world. Jesus said in Mark 16:15, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." And like Paul, let's not be ashamed of it. Let's determine right here and now that we are going to proclaim boldly and openly and unashamedly to the world that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no man comes to the Father but by him. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word of God and for this simple verse, yet a verse that has a great impact and a great message to it. And I pray, Father, that you'd help us to pay heed to it and never be ashamed or afraid to put in a word for the Lord Jesus Christ. Give us that boldness. Give us that courage. And Lord, help us to be willing to open our mouth and tell people this glorious message of Christ that can transform their lives, that can forgive their sins, that can give them eternal life and a home in heaven. Lord, help us to be faithful in sharing it with others. Help us to remember that we're not to take this message and just hoard it for ourselves, and we're not just to take this message and preach it in the church building, but we're to take this message to the world because everybody needs Jesus. Help us, Lord, to be willing to do our part. Help us never to be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.